Alright, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to study verse number 2 and note principles concerning training others. Our destiny is teach others also. This is our yearly theme for 2016. The principle of training others, teaching others, reproducing ourselves. Principle of multiplication, illustrated in our graphic here with the gentleman at the very front there, with his Bible teaching others and others teaching others. And this is what it's all about, that we need to pass on our faith to the next generation. And here within 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2, it gives us some base principles that we need to take note of if we are to effectively teach and train others. Let's read, and then we'll pray. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, and that you would guide us and lead us into truth and understanding. Lord, help us to honour you. Help us to be strong in your grace and to teach others also. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. This morning we focused upon verse number 1, and that reads, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we stress the fact that the principle here within verse 1 precedes verse 2. So if we're to effectively teach others also, if we are to effectively train others, then we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In other words, we need to be spiritually strong. We need to be of a spiritual standard, caliber, if we're to effectively train others, spiritually that is. In other words, to just take somebody and just say, this is step 1, step 2, step 3, now you do it. That's not how it works. As far as spiritual training, multiplication, duplication, it involves the imparting of your life. Think of the Apostle Paul investing in men like Timothy. Yes, no doubt, gave him the do's and don'ts, but poured out his life into him. Think of the Lord Jesus with the 12 disciples, spent time with them, poured his life into them. So in other words, we need to be of a spiritual stature if we are to effectively train others. Consider Barnabas. Barnabas who discipled Saul of Tarsus. He imparted his life, his spirituality to this man. So it's so critically important that you and I understand that if we are to teach others also, if we are to duplicate our lives, if we are to be involved in the principle of multiplication, it begins with you and I being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And our strength is in the grace of Christ Jesus, is it not? Not in our own strength, it's in Christ. It's in Christ we can be strong, and it's in Christ that we grow spiritually. And this morning we stressed a number of principles found in chapter 1 that we need to be strong in order to effectively train others. We noted the principle of a genuine Christian faith, verse 5. Then in verse 6 we noted the fact that we need to use our spiritual gifts within the context of our calling. Thirdly, in verse number 7 of chapter 1, we noted that we need to be courageous in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fear hinders, fear cripples, but courage in the power of the Holy Spirit liberates and gives us the ability to train others. And verse 8 and 9, we noted the fact that we need to be prepared to suffer for Jesus Christ. I had one dear brother this morning say to me concerning this point, Pastor, that's a hard thing. And I said to him, I appreciate your honesty. To be prepared to suffer for Jesus Christ. We have no idea what it means to suffer for Jesus Christ. We really have no idea. So if we're serious about teaching others also, we need to be prepared to suffer for Jesus Christ. Then in verse 12, we noted the fact that there needs to be the assurance of salvation. You need to make sure of your salvation. You better make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have and take the helmet of salvation. And last but not least, in verses 13 and 14, it talks about holding fast, that form of sound words. We need to stand on biblical truth and the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to stand upon truth. God said it, that settles it. And not be a Jimmy Carter that moved away from the Word of God, that trying to connect the Word of God with today's standards and today's ideals. May God help us to stand upon the truth of the Word of God. So there's just six simple principles. Of course, there's a whole lot more, but the point is simply this, that you and I need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to be spiritually of a caliber. So in other words, the onus is upon you and I to be, in order to effectively train others, to be spiritual, to be spiritual from within. And from a life of spirituality, Barnabas discipled Paul. Paul discipled Timothy. Our Lord Jesus discipled the 12 disciples. Elijah discipled Elisha. Moses discipled Joshua. And the list goes on and on. So there needs to be a measure of spirituality if we're to effectively train others. So it's the basis. It's the basis of effectively training others. Now as we come to verse number 2 now, here in chapter 2, let's now look at the process of training others. The process. What's involved, in other words, what's involved in effectively training others? What's involved? The destiny is teach others also. That's the outcome. We want to reproduce. I want to reproduce my life in another, and you ought to desire to reproduce your life in another. So that's the destiny, so to speak. So what's involved in effectively training others? Whether it be one-on-one discipleship, whether it be in a group setting, whether it be in the home or training someone for a specific ministry, what's involved? Well, here in verse number 2, I'd like for us to note some key principles, the process. And it begins here in verse 2 with the word things, and the things. Now, for most, you probably look over that word and give it little time. It's a very, very important word because it's in reference to doctrine. And the things. It's not just talking about anything. We tend to use this word very loosely and in a very unimportant way. But this is in reference to doctrine and the things. Because you'll note there in chapter 1, verse 15, he talks about those that have turned away. They've ultimately turned away against what? The Word of God. That's why verse 13 reads in chapter 1, hold fast the form of sound words. So this is the content that is needful for effective training. In other words, if we are to effectively train others, that is, spiritually train others, we need to have the right content, the things in reference to doctrine. The Word of God is foundational for effective service. If we want to train somebody effectively, we must do so with the Word of God and the things. Note there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It reads, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That, to what end? That the man of God may be perfect, mature. Truly or completely, thoroughly furnished, equipped unto all good works. So the Word of God is our textbook. The Word of God is foundational to effective training or equipping of the saints. The honor of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It begins with, and the things, the doctrine, the content. God's Word is our training manual, not the philosophies of this world. Whatever good you can get from the business world on training, you'll find it first within the Holy Scriptures. And I have found that in the past 20 years, from time to time I get tempted to just look at little bits and pieces of what people are saying in the business world. Any good that I have found was first within the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God is our training manual. And it's so very, very important. If we want to teach others also, we need to be settled on the Word of God. And we need to be settled that this is God's manual. It is complete. It is absolute. It is the inspired Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. That's all we need. That's enough on this side of eternity to build spiritual maturity and to equip you and I for effective Christian service. So in other words, we can use this book and this book alone to train people for the ministry, because it is the absolute, inerrant, infallible Word of God. And these things, the content. So first and foremost, work out your manual. Is this going to be the manual for your training? Well, it needs to be if you're going to build spiritual people. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, please note. The Apostle Paul said, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, etc." And these things, the doctrine. If we're to effectively train others, our content needs to be the Word of God. Not the ideas or methods or traditions of men, the Word of God. This book is a training manual. This book leads to spiritual maturity, leads to Christ-likeness, and also this blessed book gives us the principles that we need to effectively serve our God, truly furnished unto all good works. That's the blessed Word of God. So you need to be settled on your manual. Step number one. But if you go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, so principle number 1 is the doctrine. That's your first D. I'm going to give you a bunch of D's this evening. D for doctrine. My second D is delivered. And that comes from the little phrase there, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, thou hast heard of me, delivered by me, taught by me, the doctrines that I have taught you." Paul said to young Timothy, "My son, and the things that thou hast heard of me, you are to pass on and to teach what I have taught you." Truth is absolute. The Word of God is unchanging. The Word of God that I have taught you, you are to teach others also. That's what the Apostle Paul was stressing to young Timothy. So this principle of multiplication involves you and I being settled on our doctrine, and that which we have been taught, doctrine that we have been taught, that we determine that will be the basis that I'm going to pass on to the next generation, so to speak. Note there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Are you still with me? Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. My friend, there is nothing new under the sun. And probably if it's new, it's not in the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me, delivered by me. There is no need to create new teachings. It's all here within the pages of the Word of God. And we need to teach the Word of God. We need to apply the Word of God. The Word of God is our manual, and this is the track that we have to follow in equipping others for God's service. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Beloved, we need to value what we've been taught. And we need to value what we've been taught and pass it on to others. Truth taught to us is not to be set aside. It is to be used to teach others also. Teach others also. Do you value the doctrines that you've been taught? If you value the doctrines that you've been taught, then you will be accountable and you will see the importance that that doctrine that you've been taught needs to be passed on to the next generation, needs to be delivered on. And Paul said to young Timothy, and the things that thou hast heard of me. Heard of me, that which I have taught you. What have I taught you? The Word of God. The doctrines of the Word of God. That is so critical to effectively training others, not for you and I to come up with some new ideas or new teachings. We just need to stay on the old paths of the Word of God. And that which we've been taught, we are to teach others also. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul commends the faith of Timothy and the faith of grandmother Lois and the faith of mother Eunice. But also note there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Perpetuity, continuance in the Word of God. Beloved, we will be held accountable for what we know. And if we're to effectively teach others also, we need to be responsible. We need to be mindful of the doctrines. That's the Word of God is our manual. And heard of me, delivered to us, those doctrines that we've been taught, those doctrines that you have been taught, you need to make them your own and bear the burden of passing on those doctrines to others. The verse goes on to read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, and the things, the doctrine, which thou hast heard of me, delivered by me. Not to go in a new direction, but continue in the same direction. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So you've got to have a basis. The basis has to be the Word of God. So we teach the Word of God, then it's the responsibility for you to teach others what you've been taught from the Word of God. Simple, but profound. And this takes us to our third D. The D is definite. Definite. Because note there in verse number 2 it reads, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Definite. It's confirmed truth by others. In other words, what the Apostle Paul was saying was, Timothy, no need for any new ideas. What I've taught you, what you've heard of me, is doctrine, it's absolute, and it's confirmed by many witnesses. So he's clarifying the content. He's clarifying the fact that at the heart of our training, at the heart of developing, teaching others also, needs to be the precious Word of God. Needs to be the precious Word of God. It is truth that is believed and has been propagated by God's saints down through the ages. And we need to be wary of any strange belief that might crop up today. My Bible teaches in Ephesians 4:5, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. The Word of God is settled. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. And what about Hebrews 12:1? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What unified these witnesses? It was their faith in the living God. It was their obedience in the Word of God. And Paul said to young Timothy, and these things which thou hast heard of me and confirmed by many witnesses. It's not just my little isms that I'm teaching you. I've taught you the Word of God, and the truth that I've taught you, you are to pass on to others. This same truth has been held by many witnesses in ages past. We're to remain true to that. Confirmed. The assurance of this doctrine. There is nothing new under the sun. Note there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. In verse number 3, it teaches, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. This is the day we're living in. People don't want sound doctrine. But note, it goes on to read, but after their own lusts, fulfill their own fleshly desires, they shall heap to themselves teachers. They'll want to hear teachers on the internet having itching ears. It's Brian Houston that said that we scratch where people itch. The pastor of the Hillsong mega monster, as I call it. Circus, not a New Testament church. Far from it. God forbid that anybody would call it a church. We scratch where people itch, and they certainly do. Because people want to have their fleshly appetites fulfilled. Beloved, we don't need to feed the flesh, we need to kill the flesh. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And there will come a time when people will not endure sound doctrine. And Paul said to Timothy, and the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. These are not just my little isms, this is the Word of God. And there have been countless saints down through the ages that have held to these same doctrines that I believe and I've taught you, and I want you to pass it on to the next generation. We have so-called Bible-believing Christians today that deny repentance. Repentance, can you believe that? That repentance is not essential for salvation. Some church in Punchbowl that calls themselves the Church in Punchbowl calls repentance heresy. Well, if it's heresy, Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. The Apostle Paul preached repentance. I'm happy to be called a heretic. I believe in repentance. The same church doesn't believe that Jesus Christ will come before the tribulation period. They've got this notion that Jesus Christ is going to come halfway into the tribulation period. My Bible teaches me that God has not appointed us the day of wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's heresy. That's nonsense. But go on and on. We've added rock music to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in our churches. Some churches have gone back to putting hats on women. My Bible teaches me that hair is given for a woman's glory. Some churches are going back to tongues as being a sign gift for today. Protestant churches. Not just charismatic churches, Protestant churches. Some are even saying the Bible's not sufficient. We need a bit of psychology to help people's mental needs. Listen, the Bible is sufficient. If you struggle with depression, that's a spiritual problem. Not a medical problem, it's a spiritual problem. You can't prove to me it's a medical problem, and I'll tell you why, because it's a spiritual problem. Your anxiety disorder is not a mental problem, it's a spiritual problem. So we have churches today that are saying indirectly, the Bible is not sufficient. My friend, the Bible is sufficient. I believe it's sufficient. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. And we need to go back to the old paths. We need to teach people the Word of God. And Paul said to young Timothy, don't worry about inventing some new doctrine or eliminating some old doctrine. You just continue to teach the doctrines that I've taught you and that are confirmed by many witnesses. So the importance of the doctrine. Let's move on in verse 2. The first D was doctrine. You got that one? The second D was delivered, heard of me. The third D was definite amongst many witnesses. The fourth D is dogma. Dogma. Note then verse 2 it reads, and the things, you should underline the word things, just a tip, heard of me, underline that, among many witnesses, underline that. The next word is the same. Stop there for now. Dogma. A dogma is a set of beliefs. Not something new. So the Apostle Paul confirms to young Timothy that you need to teach the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses as dogma. This is what we believe. This is where we stand. We have to teach others the same doctrines, the same teachings. We are to teach people dogmatically. In other words, the Word of God, unashamedly. In Jude verse number 3, it teaches, earnestly contending the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, as dogma. This is dogma. In other words, this is not up for discussion. The issue of the inspiration of Scripture is not up for discussion. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Settled. The issue of the fact that God created in 6 literal 24-hour days. That's not up for discussion. A day is a day. Morning and evening is a day. That's dogma. The issue of the fact that the Bible teaches us that water covered all the earth. The Bible teaches a universal flood. That's not up for discussion. That's dogma. The Bible teaches a universal flood. The fact that God has used the nation of Israel to not only provide the Scriptures, but to provide a Savior. That's not up for discussion. That's dogma. That's truth. We believe that. The fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and arose from the dead bodily, visibly, and personally, that is Bible dogma. That is truth. And we need to be convinced of that. So the point is this, beloved. You need to value your doctrine. You need to love your Bible. You need to be prepared to hold on to the doctrine and say, this is Bible doctrine, and I'm hanging on to it, and I'm going to pass it on to others. Not insignificant. All Scripture is of equal value. But not equal in emphasis. You got it? All Scripture is of equal value. but not equal in emphasis. But the value is still the same. The Lord Jesus taught that principle in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 23. So as you can see, if we're to effectively train others, we need to be settled on our doctrine, on the manual. Let's move on to the fifth principle, our fifth D. Number four, dogma, set of beliefs. Be settled on your doctrines. Principle number five, our next D is deposit. Note the word commit there. Now we move on. Now we're going to turn the corner, so to speak, and this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is We're in the home stretch. We're heading towards the destiny. Teach others also. So this is, the commit is the bend. It's a right-hand bend, of course. The word commit means to deposit. It literally means to deposit fully. We need to deposit fully into that one that we are training. In other words, don't hold back. If you're serious about training others, it begins with you having the doctrine that's been delivered unto you, not that you picked up on the internet, what's been taught you by a godly saint through the New Testament church, God's institution, and it's confirmed by many witnesses. It's the same, it's dogma, it's truth, it's unchanging. And this dogma needs to be deposited. So in other words, note there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 14 and 15, it reads, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting the saints. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Beloved, we need to make sure if we're going to teach others also, we need to fully deposit truth into the heart and life of that individual. We need to teach them fully. We need to teach them completely. We need to make sure that they understand what they're being taught. In other words, we need to bank the full amount of God's Word into the heart of that one that you are seeking to train for God's glory. Commit. Fully deposit. In other words, there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to spirituality. Did you hear me? There are no shortcuts. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. There are no shortcuts to becoming more like Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful that we fully deposit, we fully commit doctrine to the point that that person understands fully what you've taught them. So a thorough teaching, a thorough instructing. This is so critically important. The Bereans in Acts chapter 17 were known as a people that searched the scriptures daily. The eunuch there in Acts chapter 8 was reading a portion out of the book of Isaiah. And Philip came along and he asked the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch said to Philip the evangelist, "Well, I need somebody to help me. How can I possibly understand unless somebody guides me?" Philip didn't say, "Well, you know, you don't really need to understand all of this.
You just need to understand this.
No, he went and he preached Jesus unto him out of Isaiah chapter 53. He fully deposited the truth that Isaiah chapter 53 was all about Jesus Christ, the coming Savior, the coming Messiah. And beloved, if we are to effectively teach others also, we need to be committed to depositing the truth of the Word of God. There are no shortcuts. Prophecy is important. Holiness is important. Separation is important. Inspiration is important. The divinity of Christ is very important. Creation is important. It takes time to teach and deposit the full counsel of God. And if we're to effectively teach others, we need to commit. We need to deposit those doctrines. That's why within our discipleship program within this church, we have 26 studies. Not five Mickey Mouse studies, or seven, or even 10. No, 26. 26 because in the 26 studies you will cover every major doctrine in the Bible. That's why we have 26 studies. And those of you that are discipling, and those of you that will disciple in 2016, I charge you that it's your responsibility to commit, to deposit fully to the life of that believer, that young believer, the Word of God. Fully deposit. No shortcuts. Let's move on. The same commit thou to faithful men. That's our next D, dependable men. We need to invest in qualified individuals. Jesus Christ said, he that is faithful in little shall be faithful also in much. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. There's a qualification here. Beloved, we need to invest in individuals that show a measure of faithfulness. Already. Faithfulness is a benchmark of investment. Giving people responsibility doesn't cause people to be faithful. I've been preaching that for the last 20 years and some of you still don't get it. You don't get it. You don't give somebody a job and think if I give somebody a responsibility, that's going to make them faithful. That is nonsense. My Bible teaches me faithful in the little, faithful in much. And Jesus said if you want to teach others also, you look for faithful men. You look for dependable people. God is faithful. In Deuteronomy 7:9, he is called the faithful God. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it's required in stewardship that a man be found faithful, dependable. So if we're to reproduce ourselves, we need to commit, deposit the doctrines, the dogmas into faithful men. Quickly, some marks of faithfulness. Consider the word faith. There needs to be genuine faith. Then move on to letter A, available. Write these down. It'll help you. F for faith. A for available. Accessible. Willing to make the time. Investment to grow and equip. Beloved, if you've got to twist somebody's arm to have a discipleship lesson with them, then stop wasting your time. They're not available. They're not faithful. They're not dependable. You don't have to twist somebody's arm. There should be a measure of availability. I stands for initiative. They need to be a self-starter. They'll need to be prepared to do some homework, for example. The T stands for teachable. T for teachable. Wanting to learn. Does this person want to learn? The H stands for heart. Does this person have a heart for God? Do they give evidence of a love for God? F stands for friendliness. The ministry is people work, not paperwork. If you want to train somebody for the ministry, for a service, you better make sure that they're interested in people. They'd rather spend their time with their nose in their iPhone or spend their time on Facebook instead of being with real people, then I'm not sure that they're worthy of your investment. Does this person have an interest in people? You for understanding. Is there a measure of discernment of spiritual truth? And last but not least, L stands for loyalty. Is this person trustworthy, submissive? A couple of little principles that might help us to discern those that are dependable. There's the evidence of genuine faith. They're available. They have initiative. They're teachable. They have a heart for God. There's friendliness. They're interested in people. They've got some understanding and they've got some loyalty. So this principle implies that we are to handpick those that we will teach and train. We must qualify those that we invest in. If we're to reproduce ourselves, commit thou to faithful men. You don't deposit truth to anybody. They need to commit themselves, have a measure of faithfulness, dependability. Quickly, let's move on. The next D is developed. Note the word able there in verse 2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Faithful men who shall be able, skilled, developed. We are to fully enable those that we train. In other words, we are to train them well. Abraham trained those from his own household, the Bible teaches us, in Genesis 14:14. And I believe this is the missing link in the multiplication stage. We have stopped short of fully developing individuals. Because note here in verse 2 it reads, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able, skilled, developed, well trained. In other words, we need to make sure that our teaching, our training is thorough. Because if it is, then they'll move on and teach others also. If they're not teaching others also, there's a problem with the able. Talk to me. Your disciple Lee, where is he? Where is she? Part of it can be, yes, their own will. But part of it might be your problem. You have not enabled them. You might have gone through the procedure of discipleship, but you haven't imparted life to the point where they are teaching others also. Shall be able, skilled, developed. To teach others also. In other words, I need to train somebody. I need to disciple somebody. I need to commit, deposit truth. I need to deposit my life into somebody that they will be able, they will be skilled, they will be developed to teach others also. And if they're not teaching others also effectively, then I have not fully enabled them. That's the missing link right there. Are you with me? That's the missing link. Our job is not done. Our job is incomplete. Shall be able, skilled, developed. And that will lead to the next point, to teach others also. Oh, beloved, we need to train people well so they will be able to teach others the same. Instead of there being one, there are two that are teaching others also. And this multiplication process will just continue. This goes beyond procedures. It's the imparting of one's life. You can teach somebody, this is how you do this. It's another thing to equip them. Enable them so that they can turn around and teach somebody else. That's where the rubber meets the road. Are you with me? Yeah. That's why many of us, we go through the motion of training others, but really at the end of the day, how many of those that we've trained are going on? Talk to me. able, enable, fully develop, deposit. Are you with me? And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Are you serious about teaching and training others in 2016? Well, there needs to be the right content, doctrine. We need to pass on that which we've been taught and that which has been proven by many witnesses. And we are to teach it as dogma, truth, unchanging. And it is to be deposited to faithful men who are able, who shall be able, equipped to teach others also. So the principle of teaching others also begins with doctrine that has been delivered, that is definite, that is considered dogma, dependable, deposited, pardon me, then dependable, and then the person is developed, and then comes duplication. Teach others also. So may God help us to invest in others. But it begins by being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I trust that you'll take the challenge to enable others to teach others also. See, many of us, what we do is that we just train or we teach for this generation, the next. But you and I need to teach people so well that they will teach others also. That's the missing link. That's the challenge. That's my charge to the people of God in 2016. Let's bow for prayer.